The Quiet American by Graham Greene, dramatized for radio in three parts by Gregory Evans. Episode 2.
Sometime after I got back to Saigon, Pyle invited himself to my room for what he called a drink. But I knew very well he didn't really drink. After the passage of weeks, that meeting in Phat Diem seemed hardly believable. It even occurred to me that Pyle had been pulling my leg about Phuong and that the whole thing had been an elaborate disguise for his real purpose. For it was already the gossip of Saigon that Pyle was engaged in one of those services so ineptly called secret. The letter I had received recalling me to London I kept in my pocket. There seemed no point in telling Phuong. It would just poison the few months we had left with tears and quarrels.
Phuong, there's no need to go out. I'm sure Pyle would like to see you.
Monsieur Pyle does not want to see me. He does not like me or my family. He did not once call on my sister while you were away.
Phuong, I'm sure
he was very hurt. Pyle comes to talk to you privately about business.
What is his business?
People say he imports a great many things.
What things?
Drugs, medicine.
Well, yes, but those are for the medical teams in the north.
Perhaps. They come in diplomatic parcels. The customs must not open them. Once there was a mistake, the man was discharged.
What was in the parcel?
Plastic.
Plastic? What do they want plastic for?
Who knows? Give my regards to Monsieur Pyle. I will be back later.
When Phuong had gone, I wrote to my editor. I told him I wasn't suitable to be foreign editor. I was a reporter. I had no convictions or opinions about anything. On the last page, I appealed to him on personal grounds. As for private reasons, I am very unhappy at being recalled from Vietnam. In England, there will be not only financial but family strains. But it was no use. The private reasons would become the subject of sly jokes. The rest of the letter was fine, if almost certainly futile.
Coburn, come in.
Hi, Thomas. Good to see you.
Pyle.
you don't mind my dog, do you?
I thought, Phuong.
No, I'm alone. Phuong is with her sister.
Oh.
Oh, drink?
Thanks.
Beer?
Sorry, what about scotch?
Small one.
Okay.
Plenty of soda, not very keen on hard liquor.
Oh. You got back from Phat Diem very quickly?
Yes. You get my note, the one I left in Hanoi?
Yes, I got it. I suppose I ought to knock you down.
You have every right, of course, but I boxed at college, and I am so much younger than you.
No, it wouldn't be a good move, would it?
You know, Tom, I thought Phuong would be here. I don't like discussing it behind her back. I'm sure you feel the same.
What shall we discuss, then? Plastic?
What? You know about that?
Phuong.
How could she know?
It's all over town. Are you going into the toy business? What's so secret about plastic, anyway?
Nothing. We just don't want details of our aid to get around. That's all. You know what Congress is like.
I still don't understand the plastic.
You know. We want to get some of the local industries on their feet, set up some new ones.
So why the secrecy?
We have to be careful with the French. They want everything bought from France.
Oh, I don't blame them. War needs money. Get away.
But don't you like dogs?
No.
I've always had dogs. First one I ever had, I called Prince. After the Black Prince? You know, the fellow who
massacred all the women and children in Limoges.
I don't remember that.
The history books gloss it over. Please, could you get this brute to be still?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Duke, sit. Sit down. Sit down, boy.
Yeah, it's a good boy. Yeah.
Duke is awfully intelligent.
What happened to Prince?
He got run over.
Were you upset?
Oh, yeah, I minded a lot. He meant a great deal to me. But one has to be sensible. I mean, nothing could bring him back.
And if you lose Phuong, will you be sensible?
Oh, yeah, I hope so. And you?
I doubt it. I might even run amok. Have you thought about that, Pyle?
Honestly, I wish you would call me Alden.
No, I'd rather not. Pyle has associations. Have you thought about it?
Of course I haven't. Come on, you're the straightest guy I've ever known. When I think of Fat Diem, how you behaved then when I barged in...
I remember thinking before I went to sleep how convenient it would be if you were killed. A stray bullet, hero's death, for democracy.
Don't laugh at me, Thomas. I mean, I may seem a bit dumb to you, but I know when you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Oh, damn. Hello, Tom.
Wong.
My sister was not in.
Really?
So I came straight back.
You remember Monsieur Pyle?
Enchanté.
I'm so pleased to see you again. It's so swell to see you again, Pong.
Comment?
Her English is not very good.
Oh, my French is awful.
Well, speak slowly. If there are any problems, I'll interpret. Unless you'd rather I left you two alone.
No. No, I want you to hear everything I have to say. Otherwise it wouldn't be fair.
Well. Fire away.
Pong, I have a great love and respect for you. I have felt it ever since the night when we danced together at the chalet. Do you remember that? Has she understood that?
I have understood.
Fuang, I want you to marry me.
You voulez me marier?
C'est qu'il a dit.
Il est sérieux.
Monsieur Pyle est un homme très sérieux.
What is she saying?
She asked if you were serious. I said you were the serious type.
God, this is an odd situation.
Yes, rather odd.
And yet it seems so natural.
Does it?
Oh, look, Thomas, I wish it had been anyone but you.
Well, what are you going to say next? That you can't live without her?
No, not too emotional. It's not true either. I'd have to go away, but I guess I'd get over it.
Well, while you're thinking, do you mind if I put in a good word for myself?
No, Thomas, of course not. It's only fair. I would like you to speak English, though, so I can follow it.
Fuang, are you going to leave me for him? He'll marry you. I can't. You know why.
Yes. Are you going away?
No.
Never?
How can I promise that? He can't either. Marriages break. Often they break quicker than an affair like ours.
Thomas, I don't want to leave you.
Fuang, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I'm not rich, though when my father dies, I'll inherit maybe $50,000. I'm in good health. I've got a medical certificate, only 2 months old. I can let you know my blood group right now.
Qu'est-ce qu'il a dit?
Je ne comprends pas. Aussi, I'm afraid she didn't get that. I'm not sure I did either. Why the blood group?
Well, so we can make sure we can have children together.
Is that how you make love in America? Credit ratings and blood groups?
Look, I don't know. I've never done this before. Maybe at home my mother would talk to her mother...
About your blood group?
Oh, please don't laugh at me, Thomas. No. I guess I'm old-fashioned. Look, I'm lost in this situation.
So am I. Don't you think it would be easy just to dice for her?
Don't pretend to be tough, Thomas. I know, in your way, you love her as much as I do.
I think she's waiting for you to finish.
Fuang, I don't expect you to love me right away. God willing, that will come in time. What I offer now is security and respect. Maybe that doesn't sound so exciting, but perhaps that's better than passion.
She can always get passion with your chauffeur while you're out of the office.
Now that is a dirty crack. You have no right.
She's not your wife yet, Pyle.
What can you give her? A few $100 when you leave for England? Fuang, will you marry me?
What about her blood group? And a health
Fuang,
certificate? You'll need one from her, surely. And mine, too.
I love you.
And her horoscope.
I want to marry you.
That's an Indian custom.
Mariez-moi.
Oh, go to hell. Tell your damn dog to be quiet.
Will you marry me? Voulez-vous me marier?
Tell him to go away and take his dog with him.
Come on, Fuang. Come away with me now. Avec moi.
Please.
No.
What?
No. I stay with Thomas.
Well, you got your answer, Pyle.
I don't know.
Sit down. Have another scotch.
I think I should go.
No, it's just one more for the road.
I mustn't drink all your whiskey.
I get all I want through the legation. Come on.
Down, Duke. Behave yourself. I'm sorry, Thomas. I'm sorry if I've said anything I shouldn't have done. Best man wins. Only please, don't leave her, Thomas.
Of course I shan't leave her.
What do you think?
What's that?
Would you like to smoke? A pipe?
No. Thank you. I don't touch opium. We have strict rules in the service. I'll just drink this up and be off. I'm sorry about Duke. He's very quiet as a rule.
Stay to supper.
I would rather be alone. Thank you. Goodbye, Huang. Goodbye. Duke, heal. I promise not to see her, Thomas. You won't let this come between us, will you? You're still my best friend. I'll get a transfer when I finish my tour.
When's that?
About 2 years. Goodbye. I'll see you about.
I dare say.
Shall I make your pipe?
Yes, in a moment, Fong. I just want to write a letter. Dear Helen, I'm coming back to England next April to take the job of foreign editor. I'm not very happy about it, as you can imagine. England is to me the scene of my failure. I intended our marriage to succeed quite as much as you. I still don't know why it didn't. I think it was my temper. I know how cruel and bad my temper can be. It's a little better now. The East has done that for me. Not sweeter, but quieter. You have been very generous to me. You have never reproached me once since our separation. Would you be even more generous now? I know that before we married, you warned me there could never be a divorce. I accepted that risk, and I have no complaints. At the same time, I'm asking for one now.
The tie is ready. Shall I start the pipe now?
Yes, just a moment.
I love someone very much. We've lived together for more than 2 years. She has been very loyal to me, but I know she doesn't need me. If I leave her, she'll be a little unhappy, but it won't be a tragedy. But for me, to lose her would be the beginning of death. I'm not asking you to be reasonable or even merciful. What I am asking, I suppose, is for you to behave irrationally. I want you to feel... I want you to feel affection and to act before you have time to think. If only you'd cable me, I agree.
He's young.
Who?
Pyle.
That's not so important.
I would marry you if I could, Fawn.
I think so. But my sister does not believe it.
I've just written to my wife and asked her for a divorce. I've never tried before. There's always a chance.
A big chance?
No, but a small one.
Don't worry, smoke.
Thanks. Was your sister really out?
I told you she was.
Mm-hmm. I lied to you, Fong. I've been ordered home.
But you won't go.
If I refused, what would we live on?
I could come with you. I would like to see London.
It would be very uncomfortable for you if we were not married.
But perhaps your wife will divorce you.
Yes, perhaps.
Are there skyscrapers in London?
No, you have to go to America for them.
It does not matter. I would like to see England. The Queen, double-decker buses, Buckingham Palace, the Statue of Liberty.
No, Fong, that's in America too.
We have taken the very best of the world's three great religions. From here in Panyin, we have sent missionaries to Los Angeles.
I could run this record myself. Kaudaism, the invention of a Cochin civil servant, the Holy See at Tanyin, a pope and female cardinals, prophecy by Planchette, Saint Victor Hugo, and in the cathedral, Christ, Confucius, and Buddha looking down on a Walt Disney fantasia of the East, dragons and snakes in Technicolor. It was a fortnight after Fong's rejection of Pyle. I had come to Tanyin, 80 kilometers to the northwest of Saigon, for one of the annual Kaudaist festivals. But the party was over now. The soldiers and diplomats were already going home, and so far I had managed to speak only to the deputy of the Kaudaist Pope, who, at great length, was telling me precisely nothing.
At the heart of our religion, as of all the great religions, is love.
Love?
Love.
Is that why you keep a private army of 25,000 men?
I think this is not a question...
Is it true that they're armed with mortars made out of the exhaust pipes of old cars?
These questions are entirely inappropriate.
Well, can I ask you about General Tay? Would that be appropriate?
General Tay is a rash man, a very rash man. It is getting late. I have other duties.
Of course.
God's blessing on your work. Remember, God loves the truth.
Which truth?
In the Kaudaist faith, all truths are reconciled, and truth is love.
Then, under the bleak, slanting sunlight, I saw Pyle. He was trying in vain to start his Buick. A Kaudaist commandant stood beside the car. They were talking intently. I recognized the man. He had been one of General Tay's assistants before Tay took to the hills. They fell silent when I came up.
Thomas. Hi.
Hello. Commandant, how's the general?
Which general?
Oh, surely in the Kaudai's faith all generals are reconciled. Having trouble, Pyle?
I can't get the damn thing to move.
I will get a mechanic.
I must apologize.
What for?
Cutting in. You and the commandant seemed deep in conversation.
Oh, no. It was nothing. He was just asking what Buick costs. I was being friendly.
Ah.
Do you think they have reliable mechanics?
They can turn exhaust pipes into mortars. I'm told Buicks are perfect for that. Look, they certainly won't fix your car before tomorrow now. I'll give you a ride if you like, and you can have your car sent back to Saigon.
You know where we are?
We should be in the zone controlled by the Vietnamese army, no?
So there's no danger?
Of course there is. Why would they need forts and watchtowers? The Viet Minh hide in the paddy fields.
Oh. I hope Huang's well.
I've never known her ill.
I saw her sister out shopping yesterday.
Oh, yes? I suppose she asked you to call?
As a matter of fact, she did.
Miss High doesn't give up hope, does she?
Hope?
But marrying you to Fong...
She, told me you were going away.
These rumors get about.
You'd play straight with me, Thomas, wouldn't you?
Straight?
I mean, I've applied for a transfer. I wouldn't want Huang to be left without either of us.
So when are you leaving?
I don't know. Maybe they could arrange something in 6 months, they thought.
You're going to stand that long?
I've got to.
What reason did you give?
I told the economic attaché, Joe. I gave him more or less the facts.
I suppose he thinks I'm a bastard not to let you walk off with my girl.
No. No, he rather sided with you.
Oh, no.
What's happening?
We're running out of petrol. Damn. I just filled the tank. Bastards and Tanyan have siphoned it. Typical. They left us just enough to get out of their zone.
What should we do?
Maybe we'll make it to the next watchtower. They might have some petrol there. To walk. 30 yards or so. Do you have a gun?
I never carry one.
Nor do I. Pity.
It's getting darker by the minute.
Yeah. Must be the hour of the curfew.
Hello? Hello? Nous sommes amis. Nous avons besoin du gaz. Hello?
Can't we get to a fork?
Well, these towers are every kilometer. The forts are every 10. Did you count how many towers we passed since the last fort?
I wasn't noticing.
Oh, nor was I.
Hello? Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un? Amis, nous sommes amis.
Well, I'm not going back. It could be hours to the next four. Place seems to be empty. I'd better climb up and see.
Don't you think if we just waited here, a car might come?
Yes, it might. The Viet Minh might come first. Stay there until I call, okay?
A small oil lamp burned on the floor, and two men crouched against the far wall watching me. One had a Sten gun, the other a rifle.
Thomas? You're right up there?
There was nothing in the little room except a box of ammunition, a small wooden bed, and two packs hanging from a nail. A couple of pans with rice and some wooden chopsticks showed they'd been eating without much appetite. I asked the soldiers for petrol. Either they had none or failed to understand my questions. But it seemed safer to be in the watchtower with the soldiers than on the ground waiting to have our throats cut.
Thomas! Thomas, what's going on?
Come up.
Cochon! Mettez le fusil par terre! Drop that bloody gun, now!
You all right?
I guess so.
Everyone's a little nervous here.
I can see.
I have to stay in the tower till morning.
Fine by me. Shouldn't one of those mugs be on the lookout?
They're afraid a bullet might look in. Geez, I wish we had something to drink.
So do I.
We've got a long night ahead.
What will they do if the Viet's attack?
Fire a shot and run.
That is a bad prospect.
But good odds. There are 40 towers exactly like this one between us and Saigon. Chances are it'll be the other chap who gets it. You think they know they're fighting for democracy? Yeah. We need York Harding here to explain it to them.
You always laugh in York.
I laugh at anyone who spends so much time writing about what doesn't exist. Mental concepts.
They exist for him. Haven't you got any mental concepts? God, for instance?
No, not God.
So what do you believe?
I believe my back's against this wall, and I believe there's a Sten gun over there.
I didn't mean that.
I even believe what I report, which is more than most of your correspondents do.
Cigarette?
Don't smoke. Except opium. Why don't you give one to the guards? You better stay on good terms.
Cigarette? There's a light. A light.
They don't believe in anything either. They want enough rice. They don't want to be shot. They want one day to be much the same as another. And they don't want our white skins around telling them what they want.
If Indochina goes, then half the world is going to be...
I know that record. Siam goes, Malaya goes, Indonesia. What does go mean? In 500 years, when there's no New York or London, they'll still be growing paddy in these fields. They'll still carry it to market on long poles, and the small boys will still be sitting on the buffaloes. I like the buffaloes. They don't like our smell, the smell of Europeans, and to a buffalo, you're European too.
If the commies get in, they will be forced to believe what they're told. They won't be allowed to think for themselves.
Thoughts are luxury. Do you think the peasant sits and thinks of God and democracy when he gets inside his hut at night?
Okay, you talk like the whole country's peasants. What about the educated? Will they be happy?
Oh, no. We brought them up on our ideas. We've taught them dangerous games. Which is why we're waiting here hoping we don't get our throats cut. We deserve to have them cut. I wish your friend York was here. I wonder how he'd relish it.
York Harding is a courageous man. Why, in Korea, he was
an enlisted man, was he?
No, he wasn't, but he was...
He had a return ticket. With a return ticket, courage becomes an intellectual exercise. Those poor devils can't catch a plane out of this. Hello. What are your names? Comment appelez-vous? They think we're French.
Yeah, no, that is just it. You shouldn't be against York.
You should be against... If you're against anyone, it should be against the French, their colonialism. Isms, anocracies. Give me facts. A rubber planter beats his labourer, I'm against him. In France, I expect he'd beat his wife. But I've seen a French priest so poor he hadn't got a change of trousers, working 15 hours a day from hut to hut in a cholera epidemic. Eating nothing but rice and salt fish. Saying mass with an old cup. I don't believe in God, but I'm for that priest. Why did you call that colonialism?
It is colonialism. York says it's often good administrators who make it hard to change a bad system.
So what do we do? Teach them democracy? Leave them with a little technology and a toy industry?
What?
Plastic.
Oh, yes, I see.
Jeez, I don't know why I'm talking politics. It doesn't interest me. I don't take sides. I'll still be reporting this war, whoever wins.
If the commies win, you'll be reporting lies.
There's usually a way round. And I haven't noticed so much truth in our papers.
They seem to be getting this to us.
Maybe they think the sound of our voices will keep the Viets from attacking.
So you
think we've lost?
I've no particular desire to see you win. I'd like those two poor buggers over there to be happy. That's all. I'd like them not to have to sit in the dark, scared witless.
You don't mean half of what you're saying.
Maybe three quarters. I've been in Vietnam a long time. I've seen things here in the East, and... well, I don't like Ike. I like these two. This is their country. Oh. What's the time? My watch has stopped.
8:30.
10 hours before we can move.
It's cold. I never expected that.
Yes, there's water all around. I've got a blanket in the car.
Is it safe?
It's early for the Viet.
Okay, let me go.
No, no, no. I'm more used to the dark. Je reviens tout de suite, okay?
There were stars, but no moon. And I stood below the tower for a minute to get my night vision. I shivered then, as Pyle had done. The shallow stretch of water on either side gave a sort of icing to the air. I walked towards the car with my shoulders bent. I felt less of a target that way. Suddenly, the sky towards Saigon flared with light. There was an explosion, a machine gun spat and spat again and was silent. I thought, someone's had it. It seemed unfair that the Viet should be ahead between us and Saigon. We'd been driving towards danger instead of away from it. Now I had to walk in its direction.
Pyle! It's me! I'm coming up!
Inside the hut, the scene had changed. Pyle and the guards were eyeing the Sten gun which lay on the floor between them. One of the guards held the rifle at the ready. It was like a child's game where you mustn't be seen to move or you're sent back to base to start again.
Got it! What's going on?
I don't trust the bastards with this gun. Not if the Viets are coming.
Have you ever used a Sten?
No.
Then for God's sake, be careful. It's loaded?
Yes.
Good, because I've never used one either. I wouldn't know how to load. He seems glad to be rid of it. No more responsibility.
We should keep them covered right through the night.
They are supposed to be on our side.
I thought you didn't have a side.
Touché. I wish the Viets knew that.
What's happening out there?
I told you before, a post outside Saigon was attacked and temporarily captured last night by Viet Minh irregulars.
Wouldn't we be safer in the fields?
It'd be terribly wet.
You don't seem worried.
Oh, my God. I'm scared stiff, but it could be worse. They don't usually attack more than three posts in a night. Our chances are improving all the time.
What's that?
Lissy! Stay where you are!
I'll look. It's a tank from the fort, on patrol.
We should call them.
What's the use? They won't stop. And they haven't got room on board for two useless civilians.
When they come back, we could signal to them. They'd have to pick us up.
If they come back, that sounds like a mine. We should try to sleep. There's nothing else we can do.
I am not happy about the guards.
They're all right, so long as the Viets don't turn up. Just try and relax. And you put the Sten under your leg for safety.
I closed my eyes. And imagined myself in my room on the roof cutting up. This was the hour when Fuong prepared my evening pipes. I wondered whether a letter was waiting for me. I hoped not, for I knew what a letter would contain. And so long as none arrived, I could dream of the impossible.
You were asleep?
No.
Don't you think we should pull up the ladder?
I see why they don't. It's the only way out.
I tried not to look at my watch except at long intervals. But the intervals were never as long as they seemed.
You awake?
Yes.
What are you thinking about?
Wong. I was wondering what she was doing.
Ah, I can tell you that. By now, she'll think I'm spending the night in Panyin. She'll be lying on the bed, burning a gel stick to keep away the mosquitoes, and leafing through an old copy of Paris Match. Like the French, she has a passion for the English royal family.
It must be wonderful to know
exactly.
Where did you meet her?
She was dancing at the Grand Monde for money. Don't you? It's a perfectly respectable profession.
You've got such a lot of experience, Thomas.
I've got such a lot of years. You reach my age,
I've never had a woman. I mean, not what you call a real experience, not properly. Never told anyone that.
You're young. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
I suppose you've had a lot of women.
What's a lot? Not more than four have had any importance to me or me to them. The other 40-odd, well, one wonders why one does it.
You don't think there's anything wrong with me, do you, Thomas?
No.
It doesn't mean I don't need it. Like everyone else. I mean, I'm not odd.
Well, none of us need it as much as we say. You learn that with time. I know now that I need nobody. Except for Wong.
You know, Thomas, it's pretty good being here. Talking like this. Somehow it doesn't seem dangerous anymore.
I used to feel that in the Blitz, during a lull. But they always came back.
If someone asked you what your deepest sexual experience had been, what would you say?
Yes, lying in bed early one morning and watching a woman in a red dressing gown brushing her hair.
Was Fuang the girl in the red dressing gown?
No. No, that woman came earlier, when I left my wife.
What happened?
I left her too.
Why?
Why indeed? We're fools when we love. I was terrified of losing her. I ran towards the finish line like a coward runs towards the enemy and wins a medal. I wanted to get death over.
Death?
A kind of death. After that, I came east.
And found Quan?
Yes.
Don't you think the same thing might happen with her?
No. You see, the other woman loved me. I was afraid of losing that love. Now I'm only afraid of losing Paul.
She loves you too, doesn't she?
Not in the same way. It's not in her nature. She loves in return for kindness, security, presents I give her. She would hate for injustice or a blow. But she'd never just walk into a room and love a stranger. For an aging man, Pyle, that's very secure. She won't run away from home so long as the home is happy.
Do you love her at all?
Oh, yes, Pyle. But that other way, I've only loved once.
In spite of the 40-odd women?
I'm sure it's below the Kinsey average. You know, Paul, women don't want virgins.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that I was a virgin.
If you could have 100 women and still be a virgin, Poyle. Most of your GIs who hang for rape in the war were virgins.
Just don't understand you, Thomas.
Oh, it's not worth explaining. I'm bored of the subject anyway. I've reached the age where sex isn't a problem so much as old age and death. I wake up with these thoughts in my mind, not a woman's body. I just don't want to be alone in my last decade, that's all.
If that's all she means to you...
All, pal? All? Phew. You wait until you're afraid of living 10 years alone with no companion and a nursing home at the end of it. Then you'll start running in any direction, even away from the woman in the red dressing gown, to find someone, anyone, who'll last until you're through.
Why don't you go back to your wife, then?
Oh. It's not easy to live with someone you've injured.
What's that?
No. Perhaps a nervous sentry shooting at shadows. Perhaps another attack. I'm just gonna...
Must be the next tower. I hope it is an attack. Why?
It increases our chances.
Are you scared, Thomas?
I told you I'm scared stiff. It's gone 11. 8 more hours and we can relax.
You tell me what?
My God.
Tell me what? Sit. That's here, Ruth.
What can you see?
I can't. It's nothing.
What is he saying?
I found the car. They're probably telling these two to hand us over.
You keep still. You drop that rifle.
Okay. Thomas, get it. Right. Got it.
You've had too much.
I reckon I can work this thing. Shall I fire a burst?
No. They'd rather take the post without a fight. Let them hesitate. It gives us time.
For what?
To clear out fast.
But they might be down there.
They might. I'll go first.
What about these two goons? Shall I shoot them?
No, what? No, they've done nothing.
Surely you're not leaving that.
Look, I'm too old to run with a rifle.
Oh, look, at least unload it.
Okay. Now make for the rice. Remember, there's water. I don't know how deep.
Right.
I forced myself to climb down. The ladder shook under my feet, as though there was someone else on it, someone waiting down below. I strained to see. I thought I saw movement in the dark, eyes glaring upwards. I could wait no longer. I let go of the ladder and jumped. When I got to my feet, I nearly fell over with the pain. I stumbled towards the paddy field.
Thomas. Here!
Thank God we got out.
Buggers, they must be done for. Thomas. Are you okay? I suddenly hit my leg. Nothing serious. Go on, I'll come. Oh, Thomas. Thomas.
Long way.
Why didn't you follow? Are you hurt?
It's leg. I think it's broken.
Bullet?
No, logs. Stone or something. From the tower. It's not bleeding.
Now you've got to make an effort.
I don't want to. Too much pain. Just go away, Pyle.
Which leg?
Left.
Up. Put your weight on me.
God damn you, Pyle! Leave me alone. I want to stay here.
You can't.
Show me, I'm bloody hero. I don't want to go.
Now we're both finished.
Fire, you beetle! Quiet.
Thomas, you still conscious?
No thanks to you.
We're at the paddy field now. We're going in.
The water and the mud held my leg firmly, like a splint. But then the cold hit. I wondered if it was past midnight. We might have 6 hours of this. As if Liz didn't find us.
Can you shift your weight? Just for a moment.
to lose so my life out there, so that I could die here. Just at the third dry land.
Don't talk. Save your strength.
And asked you to save me. Like he needs to be killed. Damned impertinence. You've been watching too many Hollywood war films, you have.
Oh, Jesus!
Looks like we've made it.
My car. Must have been just enough petrol.
Pity. I hate to see waste.
You as cold as I am?
I have never been colder.
You threw it away, you know.
What?
Your chance. With Fong. You threw it away. You should have left me to die.
No.
I'd have left you.
No, you wouldn't, Thomas. No, I know you better than you know yourself.
Damn you.
What are you doing?
Get out of here. Lie in the road.
Okay. Together. Okay.
No. I won't do it myself.
Don't be crazy. Lean on me.
Oh.
That's it. Lie there. I'm going down the road to find a patrol.
Oh, don't be a fool. They won't know who you are. They'll shoot you. Leave the headstone first.
It's the only chance. You can't stay here for 6 hours. Shall I leave you this den?
I couldn't use it, you fool.
Don't worry. I'll be back with help.
Oh.
I watched him move into the light of the burning car. No shot came. Soon, he passed beyond the flames. I turned my head to see the tower. It was a mess of mud and bamboo and struts. It seemed to sink lower as the flames in the car died down. Pain was very bad. I prayed to the God I didn't believe in. Let me die or faint, let me die or faint, let me die or faint.
I have missed you.
Yes, have you?
Yes. Are you glad to be home?
Very glad.
Was it horrible in hospital?
No, not horrible, just very lonely. How have you amused yourself?
I have seen my sister often. She has a job with the Americans now.
Oh, she has, she did Pyle help with that?
Not Pyle, Joe.
Joe? Who's Joe?
You know, the economic attaché.
Oh, yes, of course, Joe.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. Kiss me, Fawn. Has anything come for me?
Yes, a telegram from London.
Oh, can I see it?
It's only work.
Give it to me, please.
Here.
Thank you.
It's nothing. The newspaper wants you to write something about General Delorte.
Oh, I see. You opened it, hmm?
I thought it was from your wife. I hoped for good news.
Let's see. Well, you couldn't have read this yourself. Who helped you with it?
I took it to my sister.
Put it on my desk, will you? Fong, if it had been bad news, would you have left me?
There is a letter.
Ah.
I think that is from her.
Yes. Did you open that too?
I do not open your letters.
But
telegrams are public. The clerks read them. I will make a tea. Well, aren't you going to open it? What are you afraid of?
Oh, look, make the tea, but can you bring me a brandy? A brandy and soda?
Dear Thomas, is it her?
Yep. Thank you.
Dear Thomas, I was not surprised to get your letter and to know that you are not alone. You are not a man to remain alone for very long. You pick up women like your coat picks up dust. What prevents me cabling you a simple no is the thought of the poor girl. We women are apt to be more involved than you are. Is it bad?
It's a bit hard, but she has every right.
I always believed you loved Anne more than the rest of us, until you packed up and went. Now you seem to be planning to leave this other woman, because I can tell from your letter that you don't really expect a favourable reply. If I cabled yes, would you actually marry her? Perhaps so. I suppose, like the rest of us, you're getting old and fear living alone. I sometimes feel very lonely myself. I gather Anne has found another companion, but you left her in time. Let me make you a pipe.
Yes, why not?
Marriage doesn't prevent you leaving a woman, does it? It only delays the process. And in this case, it would be all the more unfair to the girl if you lived with her as long as you lived with me. You would bring her back to England, where she would be lost and a stranger. And when you left her, how terribly abandoned she would feel. I don't suppose she even uses a knife and fork, does she? I'm being harsh because I'm thinking of her good more than I am of yours. But, Thomas, dear, I do think of yours, too. Will she let you marry me?
Hmm? I don't know yet.
Doesn't she say?
Well, she does. She says it very slowly.
You say that it will be the end of life to lose this girl. Once you used exactly that phrase to me, I have the letter still. And I suppose you said the same to Anne, too. We've always tried to tell the truth to each other, but, Thomas, your truth is so temporary. What's the good of arguing with you or trying to make you see reason? It is easier to act as my faith tells me to act, as you think unreasonably. And to write simply, I don't believe in divorce. My religion forbids it. And so the answer, Thomas, is no. No. She says no.
Well, she hasn't made up her mind yet. There's still hope.
You say hope with such a long face. Come, your pipe is ready. I knew it would be good news. My sister, she did not believe it. But I knew it would be good. Another?
Please. She's consulting a lawyer. The hope is a good one. I should get a telegram any day.
I smoked another four pipes that night. Then, later, with the unreliable clarity and foresight of opium, I wrote a letter to Pyle. After his death, I found it tucked into York Harding's Roll of the West. He must have been reading that book when my letter arrived. Dear Pyle, I meant to write from the hospital to say thank you for the other night. I'm healing well and moving about again now with the help of a stick. We must have a party together sometime to celebrate. I've got something else to celebrate.
I found a letter from my wife waiting for me when I got back. And she's more or less agreed to divorce me. So, you don't need to worry any more about Fuong.
Fuong, will you go down to the hotel and post this for me?
For Monsieur Pyle?
Mm.
I could take it to the American legation. It wasn't a stamp.
No, I'd rather you posted it.
Whatever you say, I'll go now.
All right, bye-bye. Mm. Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow I shall think of a way.
In episode 2 of The Quiet American by Graham Greene, dramatized for radio in 3 parts by Gregory Evans, Ian Holm was Fowler, Adam Henderson, Pyle, Lucy Sheen, Fuong, Bert Kwok, Deputy, Vincent Brimble, Commandant, Marion Diamond, Helen. The Quiet American was directed by David Benedictus.